Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is good to have you here again as we rapidly approach Christmas, now just a few days away. I hope that in whatever you have planned, Christ will have the preeminence that he deserves as your king. For Christian people, Christ alone is our king. And should you be tuning in and you say, I hardly describe myself as a Christian, well then Jesus is your king also. You should acknowledge him as such in your life, and what better time to accept Christ as king than now at Christmas time? Should you ever want to know more about how Christ can rule in your heart and mind as king, reach out to me, would you? Offer your inquiry to a friend who is a Christian. We will be happy to talk more with you. By email, reach me at my address, mark@godisministry.org. That's Mark with a K at godisministry.org. And by regular mail, God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. And these addresses will soon be repeated, so stay until the end, jot them down, and write this very day. There is no more important person than Jesus Christ, and I pray wholeheartedly that you will worship Christ the King in your life. He is more than wonderful. May he have total reign and rule in us this Christmas and always. And now let's pick up where we left off yesterday. We are speaking of the contrasting kings found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. There is Herod, the human king, and there is Jesus, the God king. And when Herod, called the Great, when he gets wind of the fact that magi from the east, so wise men from the Parthian, Persian empire, have arrived in Palestine seeking a king who is not him, his paranoia ramps up into high gear. Verse 3 of Matthew chapter 2 says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Pastor, teacher, and Bible commentator John MacArthur writes, quote, especially in light of his intense jealousy and paranoia, any mention of another king of the Jews sent Herod into a frenzy of fear and anger. The fact that the Magi themselves were probably Parthians, or closely associated with the Parthians, gave Herod special cause for concern. Because the Magi of this time were still powerful in the east, it is likely that they traveled with a large contingent of soldiers and servants, causing their presence in Jerusalem to seem even more threatening to Herod. Because of their wealth, prestige, and power, they had the appearance and demeanor of royalty, which is why they have long been traditionally pictured and sung about as kings from the Orient. The Magi were not simply mystics, and their number considerably more than three. To Herod, the appearance of this impressive company portended a renewed political threat from the east. And though he was by now some 70 years old, Herod wanted to maintain his position and power to the end and did not want to spend his last years in warfare. MacArthur continues with this key insight. The ruling body in the Parthian-Persian Empire at this time was much like the Roman Senate. They were kingmakers in an almost absolute way and were composed entirely of magi. They had become discontent with the weak king that presently ruled them and were looking for someone more capable to lead them in a campaign against Rome. Caesar Augustus was old and feeble, and since the retirement of Tiberius, the Roman army had no commander-in-chief. The time was propitious for the East to make its move against Rome. End of the quotation. Combining insights from yesterday and today, I trust you see why Herod was troubled. These are the types of geopolitical movements that make kings very distressed and agitated. And then Matthew adds this, Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. It is not only that the arrival of the Magi asking for Jesus made Herod troubled, but this also troubled all of Jerusalem. And why would this trouble the population of Jerusalem? While there may have been some element in the people of Jerusalem that feared another change in who would rule them, these Magi from the east representing a military clash with Herod in Rome, the bigger reason was no doubt feeling troubled because of how they knew Herod would react to having his power and his position challenged. When Herod got troubled, this always resulted in trouble for the people he ruled. It was better for the people of Jerusalem if Herod was in a good mood. It was horrible for them if his mood turned bad. The Jerusalemites remind me of the sons and daughters of abusive fathers. Everyone in the household is always checking on his mood. Is dad in a good mood or a bad mood tonight? Because if it is bad, if papa is troubled about something, then he is sure to lash out and we are going to be on the other end of his temper. Well, same here. Jerusalem is constantly on alert for the mood of its king Herod. And when they learned he was troubled, then they were troubled also. Because, as we have already established, Herod was a tyrant of vicious temper and action. We see that when we drop down to verse 16 of Matthew chapter 2. I'm reading Matthew 2, verse 16. Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Herod was a psychopath and a sociopath. Look it up. He unleashed a killing spree on innocent male children. And no wonder Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. How many times do we fail to understand how awful it is to live under such tyranny? And it is a very rare thing to live under a benevolent ruler king. And certainly Judea did not at that time, at the time of the birth of Christ. Well, we are talking about these contrasting kings, and I have been highlighting some of the ways Herod and Jesus will contrast with one another. To start this week, we have seen that Jesus, in his adult ministry, ignores Herod's legacy. The important and strong and powerful King Herod is totally ignored by the all-important, all-strong, and all-powerful God King Jesus. Second, Herod was made king, but Jesus was born king. Third, King Jesus has absolute dominion and authority over his realm, whereas King Herod's hold on power is tenuous at best. Therefore, fourth, Herod is threatened by the Magi, whereas Jesus is worshipped by the Magi. And that's a good way to summarize how far we have come in just a couple of days. So now we are prepared to look at the Magi worshiping Christ the King. And we will begin with the star. Did you know that Jesus has his own star? I'm reading Matthew 2, verse 2. The Magi are speaking. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. His star. I hope that you caught who this star belongs to. Do make a note of this in your Bible, and tomorrow we will come back together and discuss what we know about this star. I do not have enough time now to say what I think needs to be said, and I prefer to start fresh with this next time. For the remainder of this week, we will speak of worshiping Christ the King, as these Magi did. And I do not know about you, but I find that when I have a desire to worship Jesus, I also need a plan for when and how I am going to do it. This is practical. We are, the majority of us, very busy people. Now, often our busyness is pointless. We are great wasters of time, doing things that fill up hours in our days but result in little positive consequence for others and ourselves. Nevertheless, we have a lot going on. So how is it that we are going to be worshipers of Christ the King this Christmas and not get so caught up in all the other things the holiday brings that we end up next week looking back and saying, I blew it for another year? We will feel guilty that we made our celebrations about us with little of Him. Might I suggest a plan? Worship of Jesus takes many forms. Some suggestions include reading the gospel narratives on the birth of the Lord. We've been living in Matthew 2, but just the first three verses, with some reference to other great verses in this chapter. Why not read and give careful thought to all of Matthew chapters 1 and 2? And then there is Luke chapters 1 and 2, especially chapter 2. As you read, be prayerful. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you through God's Word. Use the Word of God to worship Jesus, who is God. And second, sing. Take that drive you make every day in your car to work or school or to go shopping and worship Christ in song in the car. Belt out the words to a Bible-based Christmas carol. There are many. Tune into a Christian radio station that plays music and make your drive worthwhile, singing praises from your heart to Jesus Christ the King. And of course, be an active participant in your local church's Christmas services. Prepare yourself and then give all of yourself to the King in prayer and in song and in response to the Bible preached. And join us tomorrow because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.